Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there listening. Just want to remind you guys to mute your phones for me, please, for those who may be listening via the phone lines. Also, the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Now, while we wait for our guest Nzinga to call in, I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise, who has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and again, happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for joining us here on Beauty Talk and here with the beauty news. For those of you who were interested or thought you may have been interested in the North American Hairstyling Awards, it is absolutely too late to submit your work now. The deadline was February 11th. That was this past Thursday. So now we'll just have to sit back and kind of watch and see which candidates they will choose to participate in the awards. And we'll have to wait for July to see who actually wins. So I'm looking forward to that. But moving on, the Professional Beauty Association has an upcoming webinar, The Millennial Management, Seven Steps for Successful Leadership, Monday, February 22nd. It will be 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific. The duration of the class is 60 minutes. Millennials are a valuable asset, but many salon leaders feel overwhelmed, frustrated, or underappreciated by their millennial employees. If you can relate to this and find that you're unsure of how to motivate, engage, and retain your millennial staff, this free webinar is a perfect introduction to redefining yourself as a leader. Join the Professional Beauty Association and Stephanie Fox, Salon Leadership Coach, for web training that will empower you to achieve your leadership goals and create stronger relationships with your millennial staff. This class will go over how to establish a clear vision of leadership, the seven best practices for leading millennials, and how to make leadership feel good again. To register for this free webinar, you can go to probeauty.org. Again, you can go to probeauty.org. And you can also check out other past webinars as well in their on-demand education section. That's it for
all right. Thank you very much for that. We are still waiting for our guest to call in, celebrity makeup artist Nzinga. Reached out to me about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she was just talking about this issue of diversity. I guess the conversation really started when Jada Pinkett Smith put a video out about diversity in for the Academy Awards.
Right.
Where this year's Academy Awards, there are no African-American nominees.
Mm-hmm.
And so she and her husband, Will Smith, have decided that they are going to ban the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of started the conversation, and I think Nzinga started thinking of just about the whole topic at hand, and it kind of made her sit back and think and say, wait a minute. It's not just happening in front of the camera, but it's also happening behind the camera as well.
And then I kind of remembered, I think it was about a week or so ago, just kind of as a result of that conversation, because I remember that conversation, I tweeted something about there's so much talk about diversity in the entertainment business, you know, who's fighting for diversity behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when you think about being behind the camera, let's just say, for instance, in what we do, film and television, you think about, all the positions behind the camera, whether it's the director, you think about the producers, you think about clearly, for me, some of the first things I think about is like hair and makeup,
mm-hmm.
think about those positions. And not just, we know there are plenty of diversity, I guess, when you start thinking about makeup artists and hairstylists. There's plenty of diversity as far as like the numbers of people, but where's the diversity on the film and television projects when the actors on those film and television projects don't look like you? For instance, if you're working, if you're African-American and you're working on a show where they're all African-American, and then, some other ethnicities as far as actors go, but majority African-American, then, of course, you feel like there's no need to discuss diversity. But then when you have movies or television shows where all the actors are Caucasian, but yet you see all Caucasian makeup people, then we wonder, well, where's the diversity there? Okay, but then you have another situation where, you can have a project where there's, let's just take Chi-Raq, for instance, the Spike Lee movie with Tiana Paris as the lead, and then you have Angela Bassett. You have all these African-American actors. The makeup crew was all Caucasian. So when go back to the examples I gave. When you're African-American, let me just take myself, for instance. If I'm, on a show where there's all African-American actors, or mostly African-American actors, a few Caucasians, maybe an Asian or two or something, and I think there's no need for diversity. But that one actor that's Caucasian on that show may think otherwise. Like, okay, now I need somebody who looks like me on this show. Then you go to the other example that I gave you where you have a show where all of the actors are Caucasian, hair and makeup crew Caucasian. Okay. The people that are servicing them look like them. What's the need for diversity? And I'm throwing these questions out there because I don't want it to always be, you know, when we think about diversity, I don't want it to always be, you know, you have African Americans always fighting to be a part, always fighting to get in, you know, always fighting to be on these projects. So I don't want it to be, you know, because we never think the other way around. We never think the other way around. I'm gonna leave it right there though with that because I want to come back to that. I want to come back to that, and I want to come back to that because I want to wait for Nzinga to get on the line. But there is when I think about projects where you have all Caucasian actors and Caucasian hair and makeup people, you know, those people aren't asking or talking about diversity because they don't have to. On the other hand, it's not just because you have a black actor, you should have a black hairstylist or makeup artist. Just because you have a white actor, you should have a white hairstylist or makeup artist. But this is where the issue lies. When you have a black actor and you don't have a black hairstylist or makeup artist, and you have a white makeup artist or hairstylist, and they have never done black hair, if that's what we're going to call it, and they don't have the products in their kit or on their hair and makeup trailer for the black actor, then that's when I have an issue. And then that becomes something else.
Right. Basically, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the issues, and then I would like to also maybe have some time where we can kind of offer what we think a good solution would be. So I'm going to bring Nzinga in on the line right now. Hey, Nzinga, happy Valentine's Day.
Hi, happy Valentine's Day.
Hey there.
Thank
Hi,
you for joining
sweetie.
Us.
Happy Hearts Day.
I started off the show, Nzinga, basically saying that you and I had a conversation a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I think all the conversations lately about diversity started from Jada Pinkett Smith and her husband's decision to ban the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to let you kind of take over for a second and just tell us a little bit about what your concerns are.
That's a whole lot. a couple more
what,
days.
What got you talking? What got you talking about this whole issue about the diversity behind the cameras?
Okay. Well, you know, as you know, or maybe you know, some of your listeners know or don't know, I have a blog. I recently wrote an article on my blog about diversity and a challenge that I have posed to myself in response to Jada's video. And, you know, the slap back that was coming back to her from every avenue and every medium regarding her concerns about the Oscars. A lot of people were saying that, you know, it's self-motivated, it's selfish, her husband wasn't nominated, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I don't care about
who
any
cares?
Of that.
Who cares? Yeah, who cares? I mean,
I don't really
is,
care
the,
about any of that.
The
because
thing
you
is,
know what?
But her video started the conversation that we should have had a long time ago.
Absolutely. But we were having it a long time ago. It just wasn't a public conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what she did was to bring the subject matter to light because she addressed it in a social media format.
Right.
So once you bring it to a social media format, then it takes on a whole other animal, another beast, and then you have these people who what they call trolls. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't even really get involved in any of that, so I don't know what the names and significance. Honestly, I don't give a rip. I just feel like what she said was significant, not just that it's applicable to actors or directors, it's applicable to all mediums of this entertainment and beauty industry.
Absolutely.
Because it's not just the diversity that we're talking about is, you know, in our department, which is makeup, the Oscars have the different categories for, different aspects of the film industry. And in the film industry portion of it, the makeup and hair portion of it is what my interest was. And I kind of was like, wait a minute, how come there's only three or four nominees, you know, when all the other categories have like six people, you know, six nominees and five nominees. And, you know, like, how do they gauge our department? So it became curious to me at that point. And I thank Jada for opening up that door because then it made me do some homework.
Well, you know, and speaking of that, the funny thing about it is I know that there were quite a few African-Americans in the hair and makeup department whose work was submitted for consideration.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. What? Tell
straight
me.
Straight out of Compton.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You
and if anybody saw that
day.
Movie, that hair was amazing.
Wow. Yeah, Jerry Curl, honey, back in the day. That's pretty amazing. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well, that'll be in part two of my, because what I did was part one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm planning to do a part two and part three because I want to see the results.
Mm-hmm.
But that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, my thing was with the whole Oscar issue was, you know, like if there aren't any black films or black actors attached to any of the major films that are being considered, then people of color who are in the makeup and hair department will never get an opportunity.
No.
To be nominated, much less win, but just to be nominated. I mean, to me, I think to be nominated in anything is a great honor.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when it comes from your peers, which is what we're, you know, I don't think anyone does a job with the idea in mind that, oh, I'm going to get an Oscar for this, you know, or I'm going to get an award for this. I think people just do it because they love doing makeup and hair. But if
mm-hmm.
you do get nominated, what a great thing. And I also find it quite interesting that our department is not separate. It's together.
Right. Oh, right. Yes.
You know, because the other departments are very singular. So ours is really a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
So the makeup is usually what pulls the hair department into the whole nomination thing.
Right.
It's exhaustive. You know,
yeah.
It makes me tired talking about this because there's that huge racial aspect of things in this country which we cannot seem to get away from. It's like we can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we can't get away from it because we can't heal. And we can't heal because no one is telling the truth. No one is being honest. You know, everybody's so busy being politically correct.
Right.
that truth is not in the mix. So if you're being politically correct, you're omitting information that may be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you omit something from the truth, then it's a lie.
True.
So, you know, the not just the movie industry, it's the entire beauty business.
Absolutely.
It's you know, there was a point in time where I did a study, a private study, with a major company that is a retailer, and I look at their upper management. Now, this is a beauty retailer, and I look at their upper management, and there's no persons of color in upper management. So you mean to tell me we can't make decisions? We cannot make decisions about what lipsticks go up on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
We can sell your product because there's lots of salespeople who can do that. But we can't make the decision about which brand comes in, what's going to be on the shelves, what's going to be marketed, who's going to present. Even the lineup of makeup artists that do makeup for the brand retailer, you know, they're mostly Caucasian people.
Right, right. And the thing is,
when you talk about diversity, you don't even, and I'm not just talking about black people, you know,
right.
Straight across the board.
And the thing is, for those people who may be listening to us right now, the reason it's important that, you know, when you talk about certain retailers, that we as African American or Latino or Asian, the reason it's important that we are in those positions of power or in those executive positions is because if we are not, then we won't be represented at all at
exactly.
that retailer.
Exactly.
And if you want to see products on the shelves for you, then we must be represented.
Right. I just recently read an article about a black female chemist. She's African from the continent of Africa, and she's a scientist and a chemist. And she has been hired by Estee Lauder, Lancome brand in particular, to upgrade and do the mixing and the culturing for their new lines of foundations. And when the new lines came out, I was like, you know, I was at the store, and you know, I'm always shopping for different things. And I'm looking and I'm saying, Lancome right now, their blend is ridiculous. What's going on here? Well, I bought several bottles. And the reason why I bought several bottles is because I had never seen that the color range go from, you guys are the same complexion as I am, like caramel color. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the colors stop there. Like, we're the darkest.
Mm-hmm.
And it never goes above that. But the new Lancome lines, the liquid foundation, went higher up in the colors. Why? Because of Lupita Nyong'o, the actress, the appropriate color for her. I don't know who was involved. I don't know who her makeup artist is. You know, I know that she goes through several different ones, but she's always trying. But somebody got in there and was like, you know what, let's get this color right. And that's why I bought the different foundations, because the range was fuller now.
Do you know where in Africa that chemist is from?
I don't quite know. I'm going to do some research about it and put it on my blog.
Because the thing about it is not only because...
But she's been hired to do different lines is what I was getting to.
Think about it also. If you know anything about what's happening in beauty in Africa right now, especially West Africa, I mean, the beauty business is booming.
Yeah.
So if
those
you
girls
I mean, if
love
you
their makeup.
They love their makeup, and they love their American brands as well. So if you can get these foundations right, you know what I mean? If you get the colors right, oh my God, they're going to sell that stuff, because those women in Africa will buy that stuff. So it's, you know, not just to kind of cater to Lupita, but also to all those women over there, because they're going to buy it. And those big brands are the brands who can get those products into that country.
Well, I think, you know, I think that you know, I've got a lot of thoughts in my head about this because it's, you know, you can segment it so many different ways. There's so many different avenues and lanes that we can talk about right now in terms of diversity. But, you know, one of the brands that's popular now, it's becoming popular, and it's a brand that I met many, many years ago in France when I was on tour, is now becoming popular. It's called Black Up Cosmetics.
Black Up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Black Up Cosmetics, I mean, it was always brilliant. But, you know, they had some internal issues going on, and then they pulled the brand, and I couldn't find it anymore. But they bought the brand back maybe about 2 years ago now, and now Sephora has them.
Mm-hmm.
Sephora didn't originally want the brand with its original name. They asked them to change their name. And if they didn't change, this was the agreement, if they didn't change their name, they weren't going to carry them originally. Because they felt like black up, that's too
black.
You know, what is that? Okay, here we go again. I mean, but you can go into any line. In particular, Chanel does not cater to black people above tan at all, and they're not apologetic about it.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, why can't we have a brand that's specifically designed for us with a name that we're okay with? You may
right.
not be okay with it because you're not wearing it, but it's applicable to me and it's okay for me.
Right.
You know, because we're not only dealing with Hollywood, we're dealing with the general consumer here. When you talk about brands, cosmetic brands, it's only right. Why is that a problem?
Right.
You know, so those are the kinds of things, the diversity issues that we're talking about. You know, like I was saying to you earlier, I remember a long time ago, a friend of mine had asked me to send my portfolio over to an advertising agency. And she, you know, she knew of my work. Everybody at the advertising agency knew of my work, which is why they called my book in.
Mm-hmm.
So when my book came in, she gave me a quick jingle and she's like, you know, and Zynga, I just want to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay, what's up? Why, you know, I hear this hesitation in her voice, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of anticipate something was going on there. And she says, well, you know, your portfolio. I said, well, what about my portfolio? She says, well, you know, it's a little, we've got a lot of black people in it. And I was like, what? Now, this is coming from somebody who's black as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, what's the problem? I mean, I feel like my book is balanced. I've got huge name photographers in my portfolio. I mean, everybody is hankering to shoot with these people. I've got Steven Meisel, you know, Michael Thomas, David LaChapelle, Annie Leibovitz, these, you know, Marcus Klinko, these are the people that I'm shooting with. What's the problem? And she's like, well, you know, I don't think it's balanced. And I was like, no, it is balanced. Because there are just as many Caucasian people as there are people of color in my book. So it's fairly even. Well, you know, I just think you should make the book just a little bit lighter. Wow.
Now, what did she say?
So that it can go before this board of marketing directors at this agency in order for me to get hired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you people serious? What's the problem with, you know, why is that an issue?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're hiring someone, you hire them because you hire them or you don't hire them based on their work, not on who's in the book aesthetically. But apparently that is an issue, and she knew that. She knew enough of that because she had seen so many portfolios come in and get rejected because of this.
Hmm.
So that's why I say if they're not, you know, the diversity issue, if there aren't people of color involved in decision-making and hiring practices, then you'll be hard-pressed to get a chance.
That's true.
Which is fine. Okay, the way I see it, it's fine because you know what? It challenges us to be independent.
Right.
Create that product. Create that advertising agency. Become an agency. Do you see what I'm saying? Instead of trying to be, oh, let me in, knock on the door. This is what Jada was saying. You know, it reduces our dignity when we're begging to come in. I don't need to beg to come in. I've already shot with the biggest names in the industry. What the hell do I need you for? It's really what I wanted to say. You know, because my mouth can be really spicy, okay, everyone? Just so you know, I can be real spicy sometimes. But, you know, it's just like, so what? I mean, like, I didn't work with you guys before. And if I don't work with you now, there's no loss. I have nothing to lose.
Right, absolutely.
But when you print your book so that this marketing agency could see your work, she's saying, you know, for you to get hired, you're going to need, you know.
To lighten up my book.
To whiten up your book.
Lighten
so basically,
it. Not whiten
oh,
it.
Sorry,
lighten it.
Lighten it. Lighten it. So
it's
that can
really mean lighten up the book.
Well, isn't that the same thing?
Well, yes, it is. But she was being PC.
Politically correct. Right.
Right.
But what is that saying about the marketing agency and what they're looking for?
Well, it says that, you know, the general market that they're trying to market their product to, the mainstream, would have a problem seeing people of color. But you see, the thing is if you've already hired the photographer, if you have already hired the model, if you already have the stylist and all the other elements involved, what is the problem? You've already made the decision from there. What is the problem? Why do you have a problem with the book? Do you think that I'm incapable of doing other people besides black people? You know, that's not something that I can honestly answer.
And then, on the other hand, that's really
a question for the people who lack diversity, who lack the vision. Now, these are people who are supposed to be visionaries, but their vision is so stunted by what I see as racial issues. That has nothing to do with me because I'm okay. No. I work around black people, white people, whoever. If you can beat a face, I'm great with that. If you can't beat, hold on now.
Right. Yeah, hold on.
There goes my mouth because I'm going to light you up. Don't make me have to go behind you and fix this makeup.
So that, I mean, I think that's a great leeway into what I was speaking about before you got on the line. I was talking about how, you know, when you know, if you're an African-American artist and you're working on a television show or movie where you have mostly African-American actors, but, you know, you don't hear anybody saying anything about diversity then because for an African-American, they're okay, they're good, you know. But if you're on a show where there's mostly Caucasian actors and you have Caucasian makeup artists, then sometimes you will you may hear a minority say something about, because the thing is when I'm speaking of these projects, sometimes these projects are on different levels. And when I say different levels, I'm thinking about you may have your Brad Pitts or your Angelina Jolies on these movies, and you don't see any person of color in hair or makeup.
Whereas, like I was saying,
Chirac, I know for certain. And on Chirac, of course, all African-American actors, from what I could tell, and from what the little bit that I know of the movie, but the makeup crew I'm not sure about hair, but the makeup crew, they were Caucasian.
Oh.
Yes. Mm. And the problem that I have with that, if they were Caucasian and they can do the makeup with no problem, then I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But when you have a problem with satisfying the actress because they can't quite get the makeup right, then I have an issue with that. And I have mm-hmm. an issue with that, number one, because, and I'm just going to put it out there because this is the truth, this is what I see all the time, this is what mm-hmm. I know to be fact.
Mm-hmm.
You can have Caucasian makeup artists who work on shows where there are black actors, and it doesn't have to be a cast full of black actors, but where you will have one or two black actors,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the products in their kit to do mm-hmm. that actress or actor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There have been some huge shows done here in Atlanta. I won't even name the show. Definitely mm-hmm. won't name the makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even name the actress.
Mm-hmm.
Caucasian male makeup artist, African American actress.
Mm-hmm.
Before the show started, I guess during the camera test, he mm-hmm. sent her to the department store to have them match her skin tone and pick out a foundation for her.
I'm annoyed already. Go ahead.
So I have an issue with when there are black actors and you have, you know, black hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I have an issue with Caucasian or anybody else, for instance, on these shows when you have black actors, but you have a Caucasian artist who doesn't have the proper tools and products mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. do those actors.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they don't really care to do those actors. When you're going to send the actress to a department store for the mm-hmm. people in the department mm-hmm. store to match her up with a foundation,
mm-hmm.
what kind of artist are you?
Mm-hmm.
Just the other day, someone came to my sister and asked her, it's just somebody on the crew, because she had like a blemish or something, asked my sister, do you have white girl makeup? And my sister, yes. This was like a white PA. She came to her and said, you know, because she had the blemish, so she's looking at her saying, do you have white girl makeup? And tell her what she said.
And I looked at her and said, of course I do. I'm a makeup artist. Right. Bravo. Bravo. That's a correct answer.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I think, you know, if we're all educated. No, go ahead.
Basically, my whole point about all of this is, as African American or black, for some reason I have an issue with African American, so that's why you'll hear me switch to black to say black. But I don't need to be PC. But as black makeup artists,
mm-hmm.
we have to have products for everybody.
Well,
as Caucasian makeup artists, they have products for the people they do the most, and that's it.
That's true.
They don't consider the fact that maybe you're going to get somebody who's a little darker than Jada Pinkett Smith in your chair.
Mhm. Mhm.
You know?
Mhm. Mhm. Absolutely. Well, here's the thing is, you know, again, as a black person in our lineage, in our bloodline, we are accustomed to having all hues.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, you can be ebony, the color of ebony, and have a vanilla child.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, with green eyes and blonde hair. That's how we come. So we're already automatically prepared for and understand the full color range. But when we're talking about some artists, because there are some Caucasian artists who do know.
Absolutely.
I'm not excluding them, but I'm not defending them either because,
right.
You know what? A lot of them have stolen ideas from Black people and won't hire them as their assistant in conjunction with them. So I'm not going to protect them at all. I'm not being politically correct at all. So that's not happening here. What I am saying is you should be prepared. You are an artist. If you are a true artist, you can look at colors and say this is appropriate for that person. This is going to be too ashy. You can look at it with your naked eye and say that's not going to work. But if there is something, if there's a blockage, and that's personal, you know, this is where that whole diversity thing comes in. If you are only coming from your own perspective, that and that perspective can be limited depending on the individual. You may run into a problem. You know, it's like, you know, people ask me, well, why do you have to have Black magazines? Why do you have to have BET? You know what? I love Stacey Dash. Thank you, Boo-Boo. Thank you for being dumber than a bag of hammers. Thank you. Because you know what? You open up a door for us to have conversation. It backfired. So, yes, we do have to have Black History Month. We do have to have a BET. Why do these things exist? Because they never existed before.
Right.
And if I have to tell you that it didn't exist or it doesn't exist, or I have to tap you on the shoulder and say to you, you know what, you need to diversify, there's a problem. The problem is not with me. The problem is with you.
Right.
So if you don't have people who are part of your team, like I went and I bigged up the makeup and hair team for The Relevant. I know that they didn't have any Black people on their team. You know, hashtag Oscar so white. No, hashtag makeup team so white. You know, it's like that sometimes. And then you're not even thinking, well, you know, there are people of color that are on this set. In that particular film, they had, quote-unquote, Native Americans. Well, Native Americans are people of color. You know, why is it so hard to not just buy a foundation? Because that's not what we're talking about. That's just one aspect of it. Why don't you hire some Black people to diversify your team? We can bring something to the table, too. You mean to tell me there are no Black people who do special effects? None? They were shooting in London. I've got family over there. You mean to tell me there are no Black people in London? Come on, stop that. I need you to stop that. So this is where the diversity issue comes in. It comes in from not only just the actor's perspective, but the people who are behind the scenes, the people who are making decisions, the people who are putting products together, the people who are hiring people. It's all across the board.
Yeah.
You know, America is a place that's a melting pot. It's the only continent on the planet that has so many diverse cultures here.
Right.
You know, I could see if it was Europe or Africa or Asia where the predominant of the culture is this particular ethnic group. But here in the United States, it's not like that. So the diversity thing has to, you know, any films that are coming out of this country, any products that are coming out of this country, should be reflective of its people. And its people range in various ethnicities, and races.
Right. That's true. And I think in beauty, there's so many, I mean, you talked about several, but there's so many areas where diversity is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about product lines. You're talking about advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you mentioned the special effects, I thought back a couple of years ago, I think we had Connor on the line, you know, when he won Face Off.
The mm-hmm. Connor that I absolutely adore and call MacGyver.
Yes.
Yeah, that Connor. I remember our days in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the Connor.
That's the Connor.
Yes, I remember we were interviewing him on the show, and mm-hmm. somebody came in, called in. It was a black makeup artist. She called in, mm-hmm. and she
I think
had
it was
asked,
J.K. Hunter.
Yeah, J.K. Hunter, exactly. And she had asked about why there were no black artists, I guess, on this show, on Face Off. And, you know, he was, like, stunned, didn't know how to respond to that, but... I always think about that every once in a while, you know, when I hear people talk about black artists doing effects. And, you know, and as far as the show is concerned, you know, we don't know how many people auditioned for that show and if they were black or not. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I agree. There are a lot of black people who do effects. But then there are a lot of makeup artists who are black who aren't even interested in effects.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I think sometimes because with effects, there's people are thinking, a lot of times they're thinking creatures and, you know, things on that line, not necessarily always scars and bruises and, you know, like the out of the kit type stuff, but they're thinking of some of the things that some areas they don't even want to, you know, whatever the reason, you know, whatever the reason. When it comes to diversity, I'm not saying put any black person in the position. You know what I mean? I'm saying put qualified, not only black, but qualified people of color in the position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you all agree? Not just people of color, but qualified people of color.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But here's the thing is if we're less, and I'm not going to be politically correct again, I'm going to be totally wrong, okay? Be mad until you get glad. We have to be, and we know this, if we are dealing in an industry that is predominantly ruled by another culture, we have to be 10 times as good because we know that we won't get hired.
Absolutely.
That's just, it's an unspoken, guess what, white people? Guess what, all my little white friends, we know that we have to come correct. So if you ask me to, you know, I do beauty makeup all day. I do pretty face all day. But if you ask me to bust somebody up, I'm going to be able to do it.
Right.
You have to.
Right.
Whether you ask me to or not, most people don't think that I can because, you know, they know that I've done predominantly beauty makeup, but
right.
You know, it's a requirement. If you're a makeup artist, if you're a for real makeup artist, you have to know these things.
Right.
It's a given that you should know these things. But the other things that we come up against are issues that have nothing to do with makeup. They really don't.
Right.
You know, the issues that we're facing are cultural and racial. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
You know, why is it that black people or people of color are not getting into special effects? Well, you know, there are people who are involved in special effects. Are they furthering their interests? I don't know. I've not seen a lot. But then again, here it can go into another avenue. How many women are doing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole other, that's a whole other game in and of itself.
And not just working in labs as assistants.
Exactly. Doing the actual work on the front line, being on
right.
the set, applying the appliances.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that are going on that need to be addressed, and the politically correct, you know, mode of thinking and talking is not helping us right now because it's not being truthful. It's not being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can move forward, any of us, is just to be honest. If it's out there, then we can look at it, put some Mercurochrome on the thing, clean out that wound, put the Mercurochrome on it, and then you put your Band-Aid on it and wait for it to heal.
Right. Absolutely.
It's not going to heal any other way because we're not, you know, we're glossing over it. We're makeup artists, foundation on it, cover that joint up.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do that with reality.
You can't.
So this is our challenge as African-American, African-Caribbean, African, you know, whoever we are, people of color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
you have to come correct. And we know that we do, so we work that much harder. But if the opportunity does not present itself,
mm-hmm.
then what do you do at that point?
Well,
creating
your own, like you said.
Start creating your own.
Yep.
Listen, there's a director, producer, back in the 30s. Oscar Michaud is his name. The films that he was doing, they called them race films because it was predominantly black actors in it, and it was run by him. At the time, he was going up against major motion picture companies,
mm-hmm.
and he put out his own films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a Spike Lee of his time.
Right.
The 1930s. We're talking about when Jim Crow was still in effect. He had a production company. So if
wow.
he could do it with little or no resources back then, and we have
right.
major resources right now, you don't
right.
have an excuse. We've
right.
got so many. We've got an overflow of black and Latino and Asian celebrities. You mean to tell me none of us can come together? Excuse me, that's an excuse. Sorry.
Right.
Bollywood is the number one international film industry. The second
mm-hmm.
next to Bollywood
Nollywood.
Is Nollywood.
Yep.
If they're doing it.
Yep.
And we're the richest, we come from the richest continent on
mm-hmm.
the planet, the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me we have an issue? Like, what's that? What's the problem? You know what the problem is? Y'all buy too many damn sneakers. You just bought another bag. Y'all standing over here screaming about Beyonce.
Well.
Like, seriously?
Oh. And those $400
mm-hmm.
tickets? Yeah.
Come on. Well, you know, sister's got to pay her crew. And you know we don't come cheap, boo-boo. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
You know, there are other things that we can put our focus together if we come together, you know, and we do some marketing together and just join up and link up. What's
mm-hmm.
the problem? We can do a whole lot. We can do a whole lot.
That's true.
I guess what I want to know is what do you got? How do we get the ball rolling in the beauty industry? In terms of, you know, film and television projects. Teams that you put together to work on shoots, you know, like big shoots. You were talking about you work with the biggest photographers out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do to help get this diversity movement going in beauty, just the beauty industry alone? You know, besides the conversations, what can we do to influence the decision makers or those people, like my sister was saying earlier, those people at the executive level? What do we do to show them that, you know, other ethnicities?
I say bump them. Bump you. I'm sick
Look,
of
come
you.
On,
You're
come
already
on.
Making money. You're already making money. I don't want your attention anymore. You've already made enough. Let's focus in on the small brands and build them up. The no-name brands. Those people who are out there who have maybe one lipstick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's support them. Let's big them up. Let's help them get to the level of, you know, an Estee Lauder. Let's help them do that.
Okay, mm-hmm. so how do we do that?
Go out and support them. Talk about them like you talk about any other major brand.
That's
but
right. how do you convince people who are stuck on certain brand names, they're stuck on fancy packaging, they're stuck on
Show
the
them.
Fact that these
Show
brands are in Sephora and Nordstrom and Macy's and everywhere.
Show
how
them.
Do you tell how do
I
we
think
show?
I think the
what
best I think the best medium, the best way to get people to look at something, to buy something, is to show them. Show them. Take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that lipstick. Oh, I like that eyeshadow. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what Instagram
Absolutely.
Is all about.
That's what it's all about, yep.
You know, like I look at these kids, how many cut crease eyeshadows can you do?
Right.
You know, like, but we like the colors. The people like the colors. So show them, you know, hashtag, you know, whatever the makeup brand is, the smaller makeup brand is.
Mm-hmm.
These major companies are already making their money. But what we need to do, you know, and what I personally did was I called the Academy's office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Academy Awards, I called their office. I want to join.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that? Who do I speak to? How much money do I have to pay? And the guy says, oh, you know, if you read what I wrote on my blog, he gave me a breakdown of how it actually goes. And then I went to the website. He walked me through the website and showed me everything. So I'm saying, well, if it's that easy, then what the hell?
Right.
Then I started asking different makeup artists who I've known for years, who have been in the industry for years. A lot of them are not members of the Academy either.
No.
No, I'm talking about white people. I'm not talking
mm-hmm.
about black people.
Mm-hmm.
So there are
mm-hmm.
a lot of people who are just, they just don't know. Or they feel like it's some elite group that they don't even
right.
get involved.
And that, I think,
black
is what
people,
it is.
White
feel
people,
like it's an elite
it
group.
Doesn't matter. These
right.
people don't know. None of the people knew about it.
Right.
Oh, well, I didn't know you didn't have to pay. No, what are you talking about? You've been doing, how many movies have you done? And you don't
right.
know this?
Right.
Wow. No, you, yeah, I think that we should all flood the office, black people and white people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get in there and call. Represent your department.
Absolutely.
We've only got 3 nominees this year? You mean to tell me only 3 films are noteworthy makeup and hair-wise? That's pretty shabby.
Now, think about it. Let's go back to what I was saying about Straight Outta Compton. Now, from all of us who've worked on period films, you know, we've done a lot of 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how those periods can kind of, you can kind of mess up the look of those periods if you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, big time.
You know, because people like to tend to think that when you say 30s, 40s, 50s, that the lip is all the same. They throw any
mm-hmm.
kind of red lipstick on them. So, you know, you can
mm-hmm.
really mess that up.
Yeah.
But for something like the 80s and the 90s, time periods that we, you know, that we were going to high school in or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, early, the, you know, college or whatever, the 80s and the 90s, if you don't know what you're doing, you can really ruin a project if you don't know what you're doing, and especially
mm-hmm.
something so specific as
mm-hmm.
South Central L.A.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, because every region was different in terms of the
every
aesthetic.
Region is different. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That wardrobe was so on point.
Yeah.
The hair, not just the fact that they had a great cornrow wig, not just the fact
mm-hmm.
that they had great Jerry curl wigs, but the
mm-hmm.
fact of the application. These are lace front wigs that you
mm-hmm.
could not detect the lace on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
You know
that's
what I
mean?
You got
to
think about not just that it was styled nicely or it looked nice, you got to think about the application as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you're
they
right.
nailed that. They nailed that time period.
Mhm. Yeah. They definitely did. I mean, I haven't seen the picture in its, you know, in its full entirety, but from what I've
mm-hmm.
seen, like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dude looked like he really had a Jerry curl. That is
that's what I'm saying.
Then,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and there were different kinds of curls. There's leisure
Absolutely.
Curls, Jerry
yep.
curls.
Mhm.
Wave, Duke Wave,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they had so many different things. So, yeah, to be accurate about the time frame, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I'm working on a TV program now, and the TV, you know, I find it very interesting. It's almost offensive that, you know, it's like the period is 80s. It's a period piece. And I'm like, the 80s? Wait a minute. I was a teenager then.
Right, exactly.
Now?
right. How can that be a period piece?
How can it be a period? I just think it. But, no, it really is a period, and it had a certain kind of look to it. And, you know, to get that look, the look of the 70s and 80s in New York, in the Bronx at that time,
mhm. Very specific.
You better do your homework.
Yes.
You better do your. Don't just, you know, pull some clips that you saw from a fashion magazine. No, you need to go and find out, find some people who lived through that era and go through their photographs and see how they style their hair, see how they style their makeup. Don't
mm-hmm.
assume.
Right.
You know, because like you said, you can ruin an entire project simply because you don't know that time period. You weren't there, you know.
Right.
Find out. Do your homework. This is why homework is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Homework is really, really important to our industry. And I think, you know, that people who consider themselves to be makeup artists,
mm-hmm.
it's not just about applying makeup.
Right.
It's so much deeper than that.
Especially
if you're
a younger person, like in your 20s, and you're not really sure where you want to go with makeup artistry, but
mm.
you do know that you want this as a career, I just
mm.
suggest that you know, when you're doing these cut creases and all this kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
I really suggest you take really good photos and keep these photos, not just of your cut creases, but of just people in general, family members, friends
mm-hmm.
of friends, family members of friends, and see how real everyday people look, and take
mm-hmm.
you know, take pictures of those people. Put, you know, print them out, put the dates on them. So if you ever decided that you wanted, you know, a career in film or television, or if for some reason, you know, 10, 15 years from now, you're doing a photo shoot, and, you know, and the photographer says, well, you know, let's do a look of somebody from, you know, 2015 or 2016. Like right now, that may sound funny and be like, oh, well, that's not, you know, that's not hard to create. Well, you know, if you're like 7 or 8 years old now, and then 10, 15 years from now, you know, your early 20s, you don't remember what that looks like.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You don't remember what that looks like. So you have to have some type of reference material.
Definitely.
To be able to recreate that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always look at Instagram for that reference material, because as most women don't look like what you see on Instagram.
They can't. It's virtually impossible to walk down the street and look that way every day unless you have shoulder pads on your jacket, and the shoulder pads have ring lights on either side. See? Then you can, then it's possible. But other than that, honey boo boo, no. But no, it's you know, what I'm finding really interesting right now, you know, like I work on power, I go in and out of power, and the Times said they acknowledged the hair and makeup team, which I thought was really fantastic. Like, wow, how does that happen? But they acknowledged the team for doing current makeup and hair. What is current? What's happening currently in makeup? Well, currently in makeup is this Instagram YouTube style of makeup. The Instagram YouTube style of makeup, really focus point is eyebrows and the little highlight and the strobing thing that all these kids are talking about. Like, that's what's current. But we've been doing that, you know, real professional makeup artists, I've been doing that for years, so it's nothing to us. But for the Instagram kids and the YouTube kids who are not professional makeup artists, they're makeup enthusiasts. And that's okay for you to be enthusiastic about makeup, because really and truthfully, not all of you can make it to the point where you're working on a film or television project. So, you know, you inspire us with your enthusiasm. You're telling me about the products. Well, I don't have to, you know, I don't have time to sit up in front of a camera every day and rim my eyes with eyeliner. I don't have time to do that because I'm so busy rimming somebody else's eyes with eyeliner. But what I can say is, if I'm not able to go out to the department store and see the different products, gosh, these enthusiasts, they love makeup so much. I like this one little girl. You know, she loves her little makeup. Will she be in the film and television world? I don't know. But what I do like about her is she could tell me about the products that are out there.
Right.
Because guess what? I don't have time to go to the department store and go shopping, honey. I got to be on set at 5 a.m.
Right. Absolutely.
While you're just getting up and rolling out of bed and setting up your camera to talk about what's going on in your life. You know, like, for real. You know, and I'll be there from 5 a.m. to, you know, what, midnight?
Right.
And we're still on page one of the script.
Yeah, sounds like the week we had the past 2 weeks.
Woo! Girl. Bye. You know, so there's a lot of things that are, you know, that happen with this industry, and there's a lot of things for us to think about and a lot of things for us to approach with our eyes open. And I really do believe in collaboration. You know, I think collaborations are a huge thing. I mean, in the 90s, you know, you only have two hands. And I was doing so much work in music and had so many different clients that I couldn't possibly do everybody and do everybody's video in the same week. Well, I've done two different videos in the same week on different coasts, which, you know, if you've ever done it, it's extremely hard work and extremely hard on the body. And to prepare your kit to do a whole other person, a personality with a mini script, which is a music video, you know, you have to get your mindset into that. I would do a lot of collaborations. I'm not available to be there to be with my client, but I do have this idea. I want to throw this out to the director. Usually I'll have a conversation with them. Make sure you give me a check because these ideas are not for free. Okay? And that's how I would do a lot of the collaborations. You would see a lot of my work out there, just not my physical hand wasn't on it, but my design was there in terms of how the makeup would look. There's a certain aesthetic that I like. So I believe in collaboration. And I think that if we as artists do more collaboration, you know, and pull each other in on things, you know, I think one, that will resolve some of the diversity issue. You know, and open up other doors and other avenues for different people to come through.
Right.
And to have a different perspective. I know that there are some people, like on my personal Facebook page, I've got some friends, some makeup artist friends, who, no, I'm not going to call them friends because they're not my friends. They're acquaintances. Are watching what I do makeup-wise. And to be like, ooh, I like that lipstick color. And what they'll do is they'll say, oh, well, what are you using? You know, what foundation is that you have on your skin? What is making it your skin glow like that? And they go and they take that back when they're doing their black actor or their black singers or whoever. You know, they're basically spying on me to see what I'm doing so that they can take it back and try to recreate it on their black actors instead of saying, well, you know what, Nzinga, why don't you come in, let's do a test one day, and, you know, you can help me out with this. We'll do a two-day kind of thing. Instead of being a grown-up and doing it that way, they'd rather steal what I'm doing by looking at it, and then here I am as such a generous individual, and I go and put the product down, but I don't put everything down because there's a certain way that I mix and blend and do that Nzinga thing that I do. You know, like, why don't you just call me up and have me in on, you know, come in for 2 days?
Right.
But you see, we don't believe in sharing like that because there's this fear. And I'm just talking about artists in general, black, white, you know, like there's this fear, you're going to take my client. Well, if they decided to stray away, they were never yours in the first place.
Right.
And nobody belongs to anybody. Nobody does.
Right, so, exactly.
So get that idea out of your head, first of all.
Absolutely.
You
That's
know,
so true.
So, I don't know. I just believe in collaboration.
That's a nice point.
You know, and I believe in bigging up small guy. You know, like, how does anybody get started? Everybody has to have a beginning.
Right. Right.
Now, can I, now to lean on me for your suspension in the business? No, that's not going to happen either.
Right. You can't rely on one person to catapult you to your next level.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, you have to do some work, too.
That's right.
So,
right.
You know, but that's the mindset of this generation. Like, you don't have to work for it. You know, well, they can Photoshop it in the end. No. What if they don't have the budget to Photoshop it in the end?
Right. Good point.
You know, that regardless of Photoshop, that makeup should be on point, picture perfect, naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
There are
so
no,
true.
You know, the, you know, if you know that lipstick liner is off, you line those lips perfectly. It should be picture perfect. The skin, if you know that you're dealing with textured skin, you make sure you smooth out those pores. Photoshop shouldn't have to do that for you.
Right.
I mean, it helps. It's nice. It's great, but.
Absolutely.
You know. It was a photo that was recently shot of J-Lo. Oh, she looked, her face looked like pizza. So I was like, who's doing her makeup? This is not retouch. I'm just saying. I told you I'm not going to be politically correct tonight. Sorry, I mean, hurt anybody's feelings, but, you know. And I've been caught out there too sometimes. You know, I'm not, you know, walking around with the biggest halo on my head, okay?
Right, right.
You know, but, you know, there's a style and technique that old school has that the new school doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is what it is.
That's true. So true.
We kind of strayed off the diversity thing, didn't we?
It's quite all right. It's all good stuff.
It
all
is.
Good stuff.
It is. So what are you guys working on now? What's the latest thing you all are on now?
Survivor's Remorse.
Survivor's Remorse.
Season 3.
Wow, that sounds like a big one. What's happening with that? Survivor?
Well,
is that like Lost on an Island or something?
No, not like Survivor.
Oh,
it's on the Star Network.
Yeah,
like Power.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's a show. Executive produced by LeBron James.
No way.
Yeah, very loosely based on LeBron's life, but not quite. There's just bits and pieces of things and early on in the first season or so that it's just loosely based on his life, but it's really not a story about his life. They just took bits and pieces because the lead character is a professional basketball player. And, you know, they deal with a lot of life situations with his family, with being on a professional basketball team and being a professional ball player and all the things that come along with that. And so, you know, when you play professional ball, you start making a lot of money. And then, you know, of course, you have people from your old town or your old school or something like that, you know, who, you know, all of a sudden things come up. They need help. They need money, you know. So he's
real stuff.
It's real stuff. It's hilarious. It's a half hour comedy.
It's a comedy.
Yes, it's a comedy. Really good show.
We'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
you know, I've
really
been trying to catch up on TV programs and stuff. You know, like, you work so much, it's hard for you to see what's actually going on with...
Yeah, it really is.
You know,
really
other
is.
Shows and other movies. Like, I don't get to the movies that often.
Yeah, not anymore, no.
You know, like, Star Wars was the last thing that I literally saw. I mean, that's pretty shabby, isn't it? Well, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
You know, it's so funny because the other day I binge-watched Empire. I had never seen the show before, so I didn't know what everybody was talking about. And then I binge-watched on actually the show that I work on, Power.
Now, that show right there has got to be my favorite show today.
Writing is incredible.
Yes, it is. Incredible. It's incredible.
Whoa. Like, and the acting, you know, like every aspect of it, like, I'm like, now that I've seen it in its entirety, I'm like, wow.
Right.
I'm actually part of something that's really dope.
Yeah, you really are. You really are.
You know, you don't even know because you're so, you're in the throes of it. But when I saw it in its entirety, you know, season one, season two, like, wow, this is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What an honor. You know what I mean? Like, I feel honored when I'm invited to come in on a project.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a day or 2 days or, you know, the entire season. Like, it's awesome.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful, you know, like, it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's another show that I worked on. It's on Showtime. Actually, it's on this evening. It's called Billions. It's become very popular, and it just got signed on for a second season. So, going to see more from them. So, you know, it's lovely to work on these kinds of projects that are have a life.
Right.
Mm. Absolutely.
Mm. And I still really love makeup, even though I have to get up at 3 a.m.
I know. And speaking
and
of that.
And be out the door by 4.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
Do you have your, you know, like, when do you put on your makeup? Like, I don't have time to do that. I mean, that'll probably be midday or something.
Right, exactly. At lunch.
So, at lunch. Like, no, until then, it's not happening for me. And I know some dolls, they get dressed up and they look gorgeous early in the morning. Like, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you do that?
What you do is you get put together a routine that only takes you like 5 minutes.
I don't know that routine. I don't
Mascara, eyeliner, some powder, a pop of blush, and a lip, and you go.
For real?
Yes, that only takes five minutes.
I don't know
worry,
that at
don't
3 a.m.
Don't worry about the dark circles. Don't worry about that.
You know,
take care of that later.
You know what I call the dark circles? This is a new eyeshadow. Get into it. You know,
oh,
I'm not even looking busted. You know, but it's all right because I know that I'm a working doll and it's fine. You know,
yeah.
I love what I do. This is what, you know, 30 years looks like. You know, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I get excited.
I'm excited. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then when I have a moment to sit down and write on my blog to talk to some other to talk to people. That's the way I talk to people, really. You know, because I'm not like a big Twitter person. Like, I don't do that. I don't even really know how to do that very well. You know, someone linked up my thing, so whenever I put a Facebook post on, like, it's linked to that and some other stuff. Like, I don't know how it works. Whenever I put up a post, it goes to Twitter.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, and like some people, and I go in and I see people are trying to message me and saying, I'm like, honey, I get very West Indian at that point. You don't know them things. You don't have to call me. But, you know, I'm having a great time. This is a great point in life. And I think, going back to the whole diversity thing, I'm glad for this kind of conversation. I think it's very important.
Because
the thing is, sometimes we don't even realize that certain things, like, you know, the things that we talked about earlier, are even an issue. Like, we realize it, but there are some other people out there who just don't have a clue. You know, they're working and they're not even thinking about anybody else. And they don't have a clue.
Right. And you know what? Here's the other thing is, a lot of times, it's not even on purpose.
Right.
Like,
right.
They're not really they're not trying to be malicious. So,
right.
There are some people who are trying to be malicious.
Mm-hmm.
And those ones, you know, I'm the slave that would have been, you know, you got to lynch me because I'm going out. I'm going out with some people's heads on a stake. So, you know, those dogs, you have to catch them up, wrangle them up, because some people are malicious. But then there are other people who are totally, like, in their art space that they don't even think about race, diversity. All they're thinking is color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I do ombre? Yes, ombre. Not ombre. Ombre. How do I get that blue to be just so vibrant? You don't think some people are artistic like that, so they don't think about race, culture, they don't think about any of that. All they think about is the canvas. Those are the dolls that I like playing with. Those are the people that I like playing with. Those are the people who are progressive.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Zinga, shout out your blog.
My
tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Okay. Gosh, it's a whole litany of things. You know what I mean? Back in the day, you used to just call somebody. Just pick up the phone and call me. Okay, so here we go. The blog is www.theglamsquadfile.com. My website is nzinganyc.com. My Facebook page, don't try to hit me up on my personal page because I'm not going to respond to you, boo-boo. That's for my family and friends. Facebook is TheFace Inc. Facebook. You can check me out on those three mediums. At Twitter, what is my Twitter name? TheFace Inc.
TheFace Inc.
My Instagram is Queen and Zinga, two N's. And I guess that's it.
Oh,
and hope I answer. Because I probably don't. I'm still a little bit later, so just hold on.
Well, thank you, Zinga, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Great conversation tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Thank you, you know, for just being really great old-time friends. You know, I mean, you know, I'm here for you guys whenever you need me. I still want to do a story on you guys. I had you up on my blog. All I have is a photo of you ladies, but I don't have any conversation, and we've got to delve into that.
Let's do it.
I want to interview you this time.
Let's do
it. All right.
Let us know.
I think you all are very interesting. I think you're doing great work for the artist community. You're opening up doors. This has not been done before. Or maybe it has been done before, but it hasn't been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you all are consistent with this. And bravo.
Thank you so much.
Bravo.
Appreciate that.
I'm giving you a standing ovation.
Thank you.
Can you see me standing?
Yes.
Where's Marietta?
She's in Barbados. She's in Barbados right now.
No. Barbados, mm-hmm. eating conch yeah. fritters now.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's working on a film project. Barbados is having an anniversary, some kind of anniversary, so it's a film project for that anniversary.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. See, there's film industries everywhere.
Everywhere.
Come on, U.S.
Yep.
Let's get strong. You know, let's do this.
Yep.
I love all the black writers, Shonda Rhimes. I love the producers. I love the directors that are coming through now. Like, I feel like real stories are going to start coming forward. You know, that's why this diversity conversation is a good one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, if we don't get off the phone, we're going to fall down tomorrow. We have that early call time.
4:12.
Oh, ouch. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm saying ouch already.
Ouch. Well, put that blush on.
Right?
You know what? Why don't you just put it on right now and just
and just go to sleep in it.
And just sleep with your face up.
Sleep in your clothes while you're at it.
Look, I've done it, honey. I have done it.
Oh,
funny.
Man.
But thank you so much for having me on. What a joy to talk to you all.
Thank you.
And bless your listeners. I hope they've enjoyed, you know, some of this conversation and gotten something from it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And hit us up sometime this week so we can get this interview started.
Yes. I want to talk about those big things you've got going on.
All right. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Are you working tomorrow?
Am I working tomorrow? Uh-huh. No, I'm not in the field tomorrow.
Well,
I am. Yeah. I'm doing homework tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So I've got to crank out these articles for my blog so that I can, you know, we've got these great topics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so much I want to talk to everyone about. So I have to do a little homework tomorrow and then just, you know, put my post out and you'll see it from there.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this one. It's not politically correct, y'all. So if you're hypersensitive, get out your tissue box now. Put on your offended jeans or, you know, drink your glass of hateration. I don't know what it is. It's not going to be politically correct. It's just going to be correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sounds right. All right. There you have it.
All right. Well, thank you again and have a good night.
Thank you as well.
Have a good night. Thank you guys
love
for
you
tuning
all.
In tonight.
Love you
we
too.
Love you too, Nzinga.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Check us out on social media, on Facebook, Beauty Talk Online, on Instagram, we're beauty_talk_media, and on Twitter, we are beauty_talk. On Periscope, we're Beauty Talk. And you can just find us as Beauty Talk everywhere else as well. So thanks again for tuning in. We've got a run. Have an early call. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a wonderful night and a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.